monitoring the mountains of the West, parting the Pine Curtain of the East, and keeping watch over the prairies and hills in between. Here's your Texan-in-Chief, Robert Pratt, with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a donor or management-controlled muzzle or leash. Happy 16 de septiembre. That's right, Mexican Independence Day. Our Lone Star story of the day, we continue to find bad, poorly thought out things in last legislative session's giant election reform bill. There was a lot of good in it, but a lot of bad we're finding. Chris Wynn joins me to discuss one big issue that needs correcting in the next legislature. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by Allied Compliance Services, providing affordable turnkey drug and alcohol testing programs for institutions and businesses. They're very affordable, folks. Truckers and fleet owners, Allied Compliance Services is your best friend in compliance with DOT testing regs. Reach the best in compliance at AlliedCompliance.com. The original seven-year-old politically motivated case against our Attorney General Ken Paxton finally moves a little bit. There'll be some depositions, but the libs are mad that it's not before the election. Well, yeah, because the whole case has been there and they've denied him his day in court over and over and over so they could keep it out there for political reasons. This judge finally having sense enough to schedule depositions after the election. And surprise, surprise, ethanol in our gasoline pollutes more than petroleum. No kidding. Pretty well known this forever and have had people point it out, but nevertheless, there's some really good work out there on that. Also, my friends, let me remind you, you can listen to this show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at PrattonTexas.com. We had a great long-form interview this week with the new state director, Wes Verdell, of the Gun Owners of America that are really starting to put boots on the ground for the first time in a long time, the last few years in Texas, to work with political issues down in the Capitol. It was a good long-form interview. It's a podcast extra, free of charge. Just like the program at PrattonTexas.com. As always, it is, my friends, a great day to be a Texan. And as I said, it's the 16th de septiembre. It is the 16th of September, the Mexican Independence Day. It was in 1810 that Father Miguel Hidalgo y Costillo and several hundred of his parishioners seized the prison at Dolores, Mexico. It was the beginning of Mexico's struggle for independence from the rather brutal European power of Spain. And of course, Texas, part of all of that. And Mexico won its independence finally, and then Texas was part of Mexico as a republic. So it started out under Spain and then under the United States of Mexico. In 1825, Mexico declared September 16th its National Independence Day, celebrated annually in San Antonio and Goliad since 1810. And in 1888, El Paso del Norte was renamed. That's right, our side's El Paso. The other side was El Paso del Norte. It was renamed Ciudad Juarez, which is the city of Juarez, in honor of President Benito Juarez, who was a big correspondent of Abraham Lincoln's and the savior of the Mexican Republic. The name El Paso was left to the city of North, the little town over there in Texas, of course. That's now our big city in the Mountain Time Zone. It's also the day in 1940. That's right, 16 September is the day that Sam Rayburn of Fort Worth was elected Speaker of the U.S. House. He served for 17 years. Our look at Texas history, sponsored by our good friends at USA Investigations, providing surveillance, employment background checks, criminal and civil investigations, witness interviews and statements, and much more. Learn about the very impressive team and investigate for detail at usainvestigations.net. Well, let me get to this other Paxton story first. And you have to be careful because the people who put it up first on Thursday were the Dallas Morning News. And anytime you get something from the Dallas Morning News related to Ken Paxton, and I'm telling you, and I've detailed it over the years on the show going back almost a decade, you have to be very suspect of what's written. They're informally part of the move to destroy the man. You still had the liberal Republican Party in charge in Dallas County. Paxton beat Dan Branch in the GOP runoff as a full-throated conservative And Dan Branch was the, you know, former state rep there in Dallas, and that crowd, the Bush crowd and all of that, and got in a runoff in Paxton, won the runoff. And of course, he was from the new power area, Plano, right? Just right up in the county north of Dallas, for which there were massive jealousies politically and otherwise. And they went after him and the rhinos in the house, including then Representative Cook, who was an investment partner with him. They cooked up, Cook and the crew cooked up some ridiculous charges, which, by the way, they themselves have been charged with by others and sued, and all, there's still lawsuits. It's all a mess. This whole lawsuit that started all this, oh, he's under indictment stuff. If you remember, it was so crooked. I had an inside judge in McKinney there in the courthouse telling me what was going on, that this little band of anti-conservative fake Republicans were helping run this. And we even know this is true because the judge, through his wife, leaked the indictment when it was sealed to the New York Times a couple of days or more before it was unsealed. So, you know, it's been a political deal from the start. The real fact of the matter is they've tried to get this, these special prosecutors that these political people set up have tried to get this trial done in a friendly venue. I mean, they've moved it all over the state, moved it over to Fort Worth to a conservative-hating fake Republican judge that was all excited. I mean, he was a mouth in the press. Oh, he's going to run this. He wanted to be the star, and that didn't work out for him. They moved it to Houston, said, you're supposed to be tried where you're from. It's only the defense that can leave for, you can request them to move because the local media coverage may be prejudiced against you. You're innocent until proven guilty in front of that jury. They've never wanted, it's taken all this fighting to get it back. Paxton's asked for his day in court publicly many times. And now a district judge, Cynthia Wheelis. Oh, I know Cynthia's husband. He was a former judge in that county too. Has finally ordered depositions to be in November 28th. And, of course, what's the media upset about? Well, that's after the election. I'm sorry. This all went down 7 years ago. We don't need to continue. And they've used it. The whole case is all political. It was trumped up from the beginning. The same case they attempted to get in federal court, and it was literally laughed out of court by the top judge in the country who deals in these issues. And, of course, a good judge is going to set this after the election. But the media is upset, especially the Dallas Morning News, because they've been part of this Paxton persecution from the beginning. When we had national papers and investigative journalists running all the sordid details of this stuff, the DMNO, they left this stuff out. It has been refused to cover it. It has just been nasty. Now, speaking of Attorney General Paxton, he has joined a multi-state amicus brief led by Arkansas and Arizona and the U.S. Supreme Court to stop the North Carolina Supreme Court from judicial activism by drawing congressional lines. And this does need to stop because the Constitution, this is not how it's supposed to be done. Quote, if a redistricting process more starkly contrary to the U.S. Constitution's election clause exists, it's hard to imagine it. The Constitution carefully sets forth a detailed set of specific rights, specific procedures, and specific allocations of power. Here, in this case, those carefully drawn lines place the regulation of federal elections in the hands of state legislatures, Congress, and no one else. In other words, both federally and state-wise, they're in the hands of legislatures. Yeah, court can rule against it, but it's up to the legislature to redraw it, and then the court to rule again and consider it again and again. This judge is drawing maps is wrong, and it's good, and it's good timing to get that up to the Supreme Court, my friends. Oh, let's see. About out of time on this segment. When we come back, I'm going to talk with Chris Wynn, ladies and gentlemen, about something we found that's going to surprise you when you go vote this fall out of the big election reform bill in Texas. It's bad, and it needs to be fixed. Stay with us on Pride on Texas.
More from the True Texan Studio after this.
My entire trip, hotels, food, transport, and fun for both Isabel and me to Dental Care's Dr. Silvia Zuniga in Costa Rica cost us less than half my lowest dental work quote at home. I'm not alone in learning how much of a do-not-miss opportunity this is. A farmer from Crosby County had dental work needs that would have cost $25,000 here. He went to Dr. Zuniga at Dental Care, a cosmetic dental specialist, by the way, and had all 28 of his teeth crowned, each shaped uniquely for him, and two root canals he needed, all for under $10,000. He had a great time, went to the Pacific Side beaches for a few days too, and his total hotel bill for the entire trip was under $1,000. Costa Rica is one of the hottest tourist destinations in the world. It's very safe, very easy to get around in, and not expensive to fly to from Texas, including on Southwest. If you want top dental work at affordable prices, learn more about Dr. Silvia Zuniga and Dental Care by clicking the banner at PrattOnTexas.com. Finally, having your teeth fixed and beautiful can be affordable and even fun.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
You've heard about their politics all day. Now it's time for ours. It's Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. We have the great pleasure of visiting with the former Lubbock County Republican Party chairman and now the county treasurer in Lubbock County and a longtime friend of mine going back to the old Young Republicans days. And his name is Chris Wynn. You've heard him on the show before on other subjects. There's a voting issue coming up that many of you are not aware of. And one of the items in Senate Bill 1 that passed last time was a provision to basically get rid of all the unopposed races off the ballot. In other words, if somebody won in the primary, like Mr. Wynn, for example, but no Democrat or Independent or write-in or any other party person filed against that person for the general election, the local election official declares those elected, and then all those people are stacked by party at the end of the ballot where you no longer get to vote for them or against them. And somebody said, well, how could you vote against them, Robert? Well, that's my problem with this, is that the undervote is a powerful tool to express dissatisfaction, and that's been taken away from us. And I don't think Senator Hughes really thought about all this, Chris Wynn. You brought this to my attention because they're getting the sample ballots out, and all of a sudden, guys like you aren't on the ballot, and there's even some more extreme cases there. We have a new judge in the 7th Court of Appeals, you mentioned. You know, there was a vacancy. I guess the Democrats didn't put anybody up. The Republican Executive Committee members, the precinct chairman from the large district, many, many counties voted him on the ballot. And yet no person will vote for him in November if that's the way it is, if that's declared, he's declared as elected. Talk about this and why it bothers you, because the reason it bothers you, your perspective's a little different than my perspective, Chris Wynn.
Well, I would tell you that we're just getting this. It is September 8th, and I'm surprised that we weren't aware of this. It obviously is, you know, Texas election code. It's section 2.056, and it does relate to, you know, all of us. Our goal is to serve our community, our county, or the state. And, you know, in one of those checks is that people go, I'm not running against him. He seems to be doing a fine job. But honestly, one of the kind of the bellwethers for a candidate in my mind, I know I have a challenge, and I, in my party, which is a private party, and Democrats are a private party. And so the primary is a private discussion between the you know, the party representatives. Once I have been nominated, then it is my constitutional right to, as being the representative of the party at the treasurer's position, to be on the ballot in the general election. And then, therefore, the constituents, all the constituents of Lubbock County, will, you know, vote, or like you say, undervote, not vote. And this way you get a bellwether of how people feel about you. And it's not about feelings. It's about, You know, it's about, that's my constitutional right. How many times you walk around and people walk up and go, I voted for you. You know, how am I doing? I voted for you. And in this new scenario, you will have a very, and Lubbock happens to be the largest group of uncontesteds in the state. They will have all of these candidates listed, but most people are not going to read it. And there'll be the situation where, are you still the treasurer? I didn't get right. to vote for you this time.
I think, and you said something important. Of course, you've been a listener for all these years, and we've kind of come up in this stuff together. And you know how strongly I've focused on the fact that the party is a private organization. A lot of people don't want to, they don't care. And really, that's the point of this. I think a lot of the people will hear this and they'll say, what do you care? You've been elected. You're declared as elected. It says it down at the bottom of the ballot, which of course means a lot of even regular voters, as you point out, will not read that. And they don't get to click or unclick. One of the things that Senator Hughes and the crew missed on this, besides the point you made, is the undervote. Now, people, after elections, we get all kinds of weird stories. The media and the insiders, for some reason, have never understood the undervote. I mean, they actually try to make a case, for example, that in a 17-page ballot in Harris County, because, you know, 99% of the people voted the first page and only 30% of the voters voted the 17th page, that that's something wrong, you know. And I can see why they're doing this, because the ballots are so long with so many county court at law and district court positions in, you know, they all have the same number of commissioners and courthouse. You know, most of the positions are the same, but all state and county races are covered by this, not any other races, but state and county races. Their ballots are so long because of those judgeships in Harris County that, and in Dallas to some degree too, that people have been trying to figure out a way to shorten the ballot so that people don't undervote so much. I don't understand why they care about an undervote. It means the voter wasn't informed. You know, I've always had this idea. Why do you want somebody casting an uninformed vote? If the ballots were long, they don't know anything about those judicial races. Why do you want them doing the flip a coin? It's just dumb. It's good to have an undervote. What bugs me about this, wait a minute, what bugs me the most, this takes away my ability for fellow Republicans. There is a congressman we had, there is a DA we once had, and some other people for whom I never cast a vote in November. I never voted for a Democrat or another party member, but I always went, even after doing it, and when we got electronic, straight ballot, right, ticket, and, you know, which they've taken away that too. And then I've gone and taken that vote off because that is my political speech to show that, yeah, you know, as the I'm a Republican, Republican Party's nominee, but I don't like that person and I'm not giving that person my vote. That's been taken away from me too.
Agreed. I think the most important thing to point out is what was told to me, that the reason for this was because unopposed races were driving the voting machines beyond their technical capabilities in larger counties.
Which, of course, is ridiculous from paper ballots and scanning them, because they're digital. But, you know, I'm not sure whether that's true or not. It may be. I know that the real effort here was to shorten the ballot because they have gotten so long. And people, they've always griped about the undervote, like as if there's something wrong with it. I'm sorry, my undervote has always existed for a specific reason. I don't like that Chris Wynn, that Lubbock County treasurer guy, and by God, I'm going to pull that. You know, because statistically, those of us in the business, we look at that. It's that's how we figure vote spreads. We look at the top of the ticket. Okay, in this election, it'll be the governor. You take that, or maybe sometimes another election has the highest number of votes, and then you take the person that got the lowest number of votes, and this is how you determine swings and things. They're taking away a big statistical issue from us too. I don't like it at all. Your further comments.
I think that this should be made aware to people. I mean, obviously I'm now informed because it was told to me, because I was expecting to be on the ballot and have people voting for me in the general election. And I'm now being informed that I have been declared elected.
Oh, we've got a state where we live. We've got a state rep, Carl Tepper, no opponent there. It's his first time on the ballot, and yet his name won't appear. That's wrong. Because all the voters of the district now, not just the party members, will be voting, and they need the right to either click in his or to just leave it blank. That's our political speech.
I think the takeaway, Robert, is that you contact their state officials, Senate and House members, and explain to them that they want their right to vote for their local candidates and for their state candidates.
Very good, Chris Wynn. Thanks for bringing it to my attention. It's just one of those many things that got in Senate Bill 1 that we didn't know about, and it needs to be rectified. I don't like it either for a lot of reasons. Chris Wynn, ladies and gentlemen, on Pratt on Texas. Thanks, Chris.
We're talking Texas. More after this.
If providing health insurance for yourself or your employees is costing more than you can afford, listen closely to this message.
I think one of the challenges that all small business owners are facing today is while they may be less than 50 employees, they're still competing with the big box companies that have full-blown benefit plans.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
And with the price almost reaching the point of unaffordability, employers are looking for solutions. And my out-of-the-box thinking is providing a solution. We enrolled a local company, and we were able to save that employer one-third of his budget, which was equal to a little over $100,000 that he was paying prior to working with my agency.
Life Health Dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
The name may be Specialty Trucks of Lubbock, but these guys have repeat customers across the country. Why? Because they save you serious money. Mike Crafton and Jason Duncan specialize in finding and reconditioning quality work trucks, including heavy-duty pickups, utility-bodied trucks, bucket trucks, and more. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock can get you the work truck you need and save you money. You can see inventory online at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com or request them to find the truck you need. Talk to Mike or Jason at specialtytrucksoflubbock.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, lovers of Texas and of liberty, it's time for the show that celebrates the spirit of Alamo. Here's your Texan-in-Chief, Texas political swami, the man bad politicians hate and the good call friend. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas, ladies and gentlemen. Earlier this week, I was very, very frustrated because it was one of those days where there were things I really wanted to discuss that matter about what's happening to our country and our culture. And it's not Washington or Hollywood. It's right in our own towns, in our own backyard. And I was frustrated. It's a story out of Amarillo. It's a continuation of the disgusting, just absolutely fecally disgusting leadership out of Amarillo civic cheerleaders. And I was frustrated because what always happens is I can't get to the story later in the week because there's always a lot of news. I've just decided to push other things aside. I've got a lot. But I want to talk about this. Brad Johnson at thetexan.news is the latest to write a piece on this. Now, you generally only get these stories in non-leftist media, which means most of the non-mainstream. Although, this stuff in Amarillo has been picked up in some of the other left-leaning outlets over a while because it's so egregious. Let's take this piece from the Texan.news by Brad Johnson. Amarillo non-voter-approved debt maneuver to finance Civic Center draws ire from legislators. Now, it's drawn ire from everybody, and it's the background. It's what's going on about this. We saw this in Wichita Falls. Remember, the people voted against a detailed point-by-point bond issue, and all of a sudden the leadership said, well, we'll just find a way. We'll find some other way of funding these. We'll go ahead and move forward. I've seen this stuff in my own town to a lesser degree of what they did in Lubbock the last many years, and this group's pretty well been thrown out of leadership. They just quit asking the public for bonds. Do y'all know that? I mean, any of y'all ever been there when the city built a new city hall or a new police headquarters or decided to build a bunch of regional police headquarters and stuff like that it wasn't a vote of the city for you all to have a say on that big of a thing? Well, in Lubbock, this Pope crew and the guy that's still in there that voted for the tax increase, the retail guy, I just go blank on this stuff. People people think I know all these things. They're inconsequential. It's the bigger picture that matters. I just can't remember. These guys just decided to start spending money and go and use all kinds of debt instruments without asking the people. Amarillo's, though, is such an in-your-face situation. Let's start with this. This is the most egregious abuse of Texas financing law I've ever seen in my long career. Amarillo businessman Alex Fairley's testimony said after he testified, that's what an unnamed, because they don't want to be on the record, Texas lawmaker said after a House Ways and Means Committee hearing. And I mean, the members were shocked. We've talked to you about this before. It's like these CO bonds. Those were meant for short-term things that make revenue. And yet they're using them for capital projects that aren't affected, that were never intended to be covered. Well, there's another kind that's being abused even more. So this guy, Alex Fairley, suing Amarillo and the mayor, Ginger Nelson. And in my opinion, Ginger Nelson and her crew, it's just my opinion, are the poster children for what's wrong in America and what's happened to our culture and how it's dived into the sewer. You say, well, the left, Robert, I mean, they're surely not as bad. They claim to be Republicans. No, look, we get it. We know who the left are. They've always been around. You know, even in the American Revolution, you know, there were people informing on the Patriots and to the British for self-interest. There's always been those people. It's the people who socially, culturally, business-wise know better, but have sold out American values. I've talked about it over and over. Just seems to be no sense of public service anymore. And there's no integrity. They openly, in many cases, talk about the electorate. You know, in Lubbock, the electorate turned down a bond issue. And what you got in media and a bunch of civic cheerleaders, well, they just didn't know enough. Or it's just that Broadway thing they didn't like. They weren't informed. You hear this all the time. They just weren't informed enough. We hear that a lot in school elections, too, for spending money. Well, they just weren't informed. Or they were misinformed. You know, and the people saying it have dived into this cultural cesspool to the extent that they don't realize what they're actually saying. Well, some of them do because they're just arrogant SOBs, but a lot of them don't understand that they're really just pulling it out and urinating on the whole idea of public service and the fact that we're a republic. I'm sorry, the city doesn't belong to you. The school district doesn't belong to you. Just because you got elected to something doesn't mean that your view of the future of your city and where its employment should go and where its entertainment district should be and that somehow overrides the individual daily decisions of the people. And politically, it doesn't override the decisions of the people at the polis. But that's how they think. And that's what I'm saying. We've dived into a cultural sewer where all Washington, D.C. and all of that stuff is just a reflection on steroids because they get so much more money of what goes on in our county courthouses and in our city councils daily. So Fairley suing the mayor, Ginger Nelson, who's just among the worst I can think of, over a maneuver of debt issuance without voter approval to renovate the Civic Center. And Fairley's poured lots of money in this. It says a few $100,000 because this is what it, sadly, sometimes it's what it takes. Those who can afford it to fight for our rights. We're not going to have a country left. In 2020, Amarillo voters shot down a $275 million bond proposal to finance that specific project over redoing the Civic Center. It was an overwhelming margin. I mean, the downtown cheerleaders were agape that they were so defeated. State law says there's a 3-year moratorium on repeat bond proposals. That means the next time they couldn't put it before voters until 2024. So rather than scrap their vision of what needs to be done, and by the way, the Civic Center looks real nice. In fact, I just drove down there recently. You know, our great friends at Las Brisas have a brand new Las Brisas is the feature restaurant across from the Civic Center in that big, nice convention center hotel there. Just telling you. Anyway, and I've done events in that Civic Center, too. It's just fine. Rather than waiting to scrap it or wait for the ballot, Amarillo officials passed an ordinance on May 24th of this year issuing $260 million in what are called TANs, tax anticipation notes. That is, those were designed for cash flow crunches. When you found your city government or local government out of cash, but you have revenue coming and you've got to bridge the gap because you got to pay firefighters and police and stuff. The item was buried in a dense meeting agenda without specifying a fiscal note like other items, and it passed 4-1 by this degenerate council. Just like that, the largest TAN in Texas history had been approved, the second largest being a $60 million TAN passed by San Antonio, which, of course, has 7 times the population of Amarillo, so it was clearly a proper cash flow note, most likely. According to Fairley, what the council decided to do was issue the TAN after finding a bank that would underwrite the loan and eventually refinance the debt with a long-term refunding bond, which requires a commensurate property tax increase to begin repayment of the debt. I'm not going through that again. This all took place without accounting for it in the city's maintenance and operation rate or seeking voter approval of a tax hike. Fairley said another end-around occurred when the city was able to secure the Civic Center and Prospective Arena into a tax. They made a TERS, a tax increment reinvestment zone, a designation that would allow this new debt to be folded into the interest and sinking tax rate and thus not be covered under the property tax protections passed by the legislature that requires a public vote if they raise taxes more than 3.5%. You know, property taxes in a given year. You see what they did? They did another end around so that all this debt they're handling doesn't even apply to the property tax, the no new revenue rate, you know, and property tax protections. It's utterly nasty, ladies and gentlemen. And that's what I'm Ginger Nelson and this degenerate council up there, they are a perfect example of what's happening in our culture with the loss of the idea of public service in its proper form.
More Texas political and news analysis without a management muzzle in a moment.
Premium Angus steaks, fish flown in fresh, the most complete wine list in West Texas. And did I mention the premium Angus steaks exclusively from Meijer Natural Angus Beef, as well as premium Wagyu beef? Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse is the ultimate West Texas dining experience. When it's time for that special meal with family and friends or a key business dinner, it's time for Las Brisas Southwest Steakhouse in Lubbock. They take reservations through Open Table, and at their website, just search for Las Brisas Lubbock. It's the ultimate dining experience.
Farming has never been for the faint of heart, but you already know that. The faith and fortitude that brought you to the table will ensure you're here tomorrow. At Vista Bank, we can say that because we've served producers just like you for 109 years. Through the Dust Bowl, the Great Depression, 2 world wars, and the global pandemic. One of the region's few FSA preferred lenders, maybe it's time you make your move. Vista Bank, where people always come first.
Are you redoing houses or commercial buildings? Corley Demo and Construction does quality interior and exterior demo and doesn't charge extra fees such as dump fees. They rent construction dumpsters too. Get it cleaned out or torn down right so you can get the job going with Corley Demo and Construction. Free estimates. Contact us today at CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com. Quality work, quality cleanup. CorleyDemoAndConstruction.com.
From the State House to the Courthouse, they know Pratt's watching. Here he comes with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. So we continue with this piece from Brad Johnson that brings us up to date on a story been following for a long time. Amarillo non-voter approved debt maneuver to finance Civic Center draws ire from legislators. And I'm getting that part, so I've explained it to you. These COs and TANs, Texas Tax Anticipation Notes, the purpose of them in the law is to provide funding for emergency spending needed quickly, like when you got to have a new fire truck when one breaks down, or to bridge the gap between periods of incoming, you know, revenue when you got to make payroll for the police and stuff. Now let's get to the rest of this. I recall hearing this story last May from one of my colleagues, and I sort of thought, no, that's preposterous. By the way, I've had legislators tell me stuff like that, too. It's kind of like the drag shows, the sex change stuff. This last session, a bunch of them didn't want to listen. I mean, I have their private ear. That's not really happening. These conservatives are making that up. I mean, that's one or two. Now, all of a sudden, they were just wrong. They just don't know. It's like, don't think the elected people are the ones that are up on politics. You know, now we find out all these medical schools and public hospitals had entire departments dedicated to sex-changing kids right here in Texas. So Representative Jim Murphy of Houston said he recalled hearing this testimony about Amarillo. He said, that's preposterous. I'm not sure that's what occurred. But, he said, now it's that and more. The idea of TANs, Representative Murphy said, is that it's a bridge loan to get you to the day when all your revenues start coming in and it can be paid off in a short time. So this is a horse of a different color. State Rep. Hugh Shine of Temple suggested it may even constitute an underwriter violation, describing TANs as purely a cash flow instrument. I've never heard of any entity in the municipal bond arena that's issued TANs for the purpose of coming around and financing them with some other form of indebtedness. Shine added, that's number one, not the intent, and I would think would be a violation of the covenant with the underwriter. To me, there's all kind of red flags that go up in this deal. And my message to any municipality out there that's thinking of pulling this stunt, I think they better be on guard because that's something the Attorney General's office would be on top of pretty quick. Chairman Morgan Meyer of Dallas told the committee, regardless of the outcome of this lawsuit, we are certainly going to address this issue next session. Last year, the legislature passed House Bill 1869, which curtailed the ability of localities to issue these COs, Certificates of Obligation, which the city in which I live and a lot of others have been abusing. Legislators set their sights on this method of debt issuance due to various outlandish stories of COs used to pay for a variety of inessential projects, such as Amarillo's $8 million CO to buy a water park. See, it's been ongoing for a long time there, folks. Shortly after that bill's passage, but before it became effective on September 1st, 2021, the Amarillo City Council tried to approve a $35 million CO to pay for the relocation of its city hall. The effort was eventually put on hold after a petition drive secured enough signatures to place the debt proposal on the ballot. Last year's issue and this project are related as the land on which the city hall sits is earmarked for construction of the Civic Center renovation. According to the plaintiff, Fairley, who was involved in that fight too, the city's then pivoted to a TAN, tax anticipation note, to finance the relocation of City Hall, just as it's done with the larger project here. In his lawsuit, Fairley alleges the city did not provide sufficient public notice, a would-be violation of state law, in addition to abusing the spirit and purpose of TANs. It's amazing that people who work for the public think they never have to tell anyone anything, Fairley told the Texan, criticizing the city's attempt to avoid deposition in the lawsuit. Amarillo, of course, rejects the allegation, saying it provided sufficient public notice and that the process it underwent in issuing the TAN adheres fully to what's in the state code. That's bull. That's bull. Everybody in the state, the legislators know. It's just like the COs. It's just like the election stuff. We all knew what the parameters were, but because the law didn't specifically say you cannot do this, it's like a teenager, you know. You know, all the excuses, they'll take your word literally and say, well, you only said this, so I did this. And they know they're violating it. So the people in Amarillo, that's what I mean. This is a sign of the sewer we find our culture in. They know it's wrong, just like when Houston did all that election stuff. We've all known what the parameters were and what the law meant for years. But when you get somebody in there that has no integrity and ethics, they'll abuse it. And that's always what happens. Amarillo Mayor Ginger Nielsen wouldn't talk to the Texan about this story. Of course not. She's just putrid. In the committee hearing, Morgan Meyer, who was chairman of the committee, Ways and Means, I think, didn't hold back in criticizing the request of the city of Amarillo and called it ludicrous. I think we've touched a nerve in Amarillo, Fairley said in a phone interview, adding Amarillo residents are done with this mentality at City Hall and they're going to do whatever they want. The case is set for trial in October in Potter County, and it doesn't matter what happens in that case. I guarantee you, Chairman Meyer and the rest of them are correct. They're going to go back in Ways and Means. They're going to fix this. We shouldn't have to be dealing with this, because if you had normal people, people with any sense of integrity, they would have said, well, the voters opposed it. That's it. And they never, you notice this, they never tell it their fault. Oh, we didn't communicate. They'll say they didn't understand. They don't say we didn't communicate it well. It's just the same thing you get out of liberals in adolescence. It's always scapegoating. The voters said, no, that's it. Period. Go some other way. Try to find private funding for it or something, or wait a few years and try to sell it again. But no. And that's what I mean about the pit, the sewer we found ourselves in. Supposedly powerful people in town with money and who are surrounded by the big interests, and they stamp their feet like little adolescents who were told to be home by 9:30 instead of 11. They stamp their feet, they scream and yell, and they just say to hell with you. And then you'll say, well, you said don't be out late. Well, that didn't specify. And to me, late's 1 a.m., not midnight, even though you've always said it's midnight. You know, it's just they'll just do anything. This is the cultural pit we find ourselves in. I'm going to switch gears before we run out of time here on this for the week. Reuters has a major piece out where they have done a big, big investigation. Special report, how U.S. ethanol plants are allowed to pollute more than oil refineries. Not only do they report that the ethanol plants produce more than double the climate-damaging pollution per gallon of fuel produced than the nation's oil refineries, analyzing federal data, turns out the federal data itself is suspect because it looks like they've been shading everything in that direction. Comes from the fact they're all being exempted from the rules, and the government research is very disputed by actual scientists and others outside in all this stuff. It says the industry friendly assumptions are behind a lot of the government. So the government maintain that ethanol produces less pollution than gasoline, despite the growing body of independent research showing the opposite. The EPA bases its claim that ethanol benefits the climate on calculations made nearly 15 years ago. Listen to this. It's like all these failed climate change models. Using a handful of scientific models. The models include one that was recommended to the agency by the Renewable Fuels Association. The people that are making the money off making ethanol. And it goes into so much detail. It goes into a tremendous amount of detail. One of the most interesting things about it is the life cycle. You're supposed to have measured, all Reuters did to determine this was just the actual government measurements at the plants, the refineries. But they're supposed to look at the life cycle, and they didn't. I mean, the fact that you got to grow, fertilize, and harvest, and ship the corn and all this other stuff to make ethanol, just at the refinery level alone, it's bigger pollutant than is gasoline. And when you take, there's a bunch of new evidence when you look at the life cycle of it, it's a much bigger pollutant. So, plus it made food costs go up because you're paying a lot of money for corn. Oh, well, doesn't surprise me any. All right, my friends, thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos. Happy 16 de septiembre.
Hear all the great Texas music Pratt on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.